And welcome into the Tuesday edition, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about great service. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Tuesday morning. Joe, good morning. How are you?
Oh, I'm great. Got that up 3-1 kind of feeling.
Mm. Did you stay up for the whole thing last night?
Sadly, not only that, but also then I couldn't help but I had to have, like, we had to have the, you know, the commentary of Chuck and Shaq and, you know, Kenny. And then it's like, yeah, but then, like, the presser, I mean, what are they going to say? You know, like, is Draymond going to talk more trash? Like, is Jalen Green going to say again, like, Draymond Green can't do anything but talk, even though Jalen Green sat the entire fourth quarter while Draymond, again, showed why he's one of the greatest defensive players of all time? I mean, I had to wait and hear everybody talk, you know?
So did you go to sleep at all?
No, it's an all-night. No, I'm just kidding. Yes, I got some sleep.
That's good.
Thanks for asking. Well,
look, hey, my Miami Heat slept through the whole game yesterday.
Oh,
they got beat
my
by 55
God.
Points in a playoff game. So really, really glad that they decided to, you know, put together this nice streak at the end of the year to actually get in the playoffs rather than lose, which is what they should have done the last 2 years, and then get swept, including a 55-point loss to the Cavs last night. Good stuff.
Yeah, man. I mean, that was – I don't remember what the number was, but it had a chance to be the record, right?
Oh, yeah.
I was watching the end, and whatever the record, 60-something?
I think so. We're getting close.
And it took a little bit of a late run there, which already, like, apparently, like, no one going to the games. And, man, that's a good example of sometimes. Not that the playoffs should be less than eight teams. I mean, they shouldn't do the play-in thing, but – sometimes you can make the playoffs and still no one can care. Boy, what an ugly. So that's the first time ever a team has lost back-to-back playoff games by 30-plus.
Glad they're making history down there.
It says here 58 points is the record.
58.
Happened twice.
They got close. 55.
Okay.
Good stuff.
Yeah. Boy. I will say on the flip side of that, you know, Boston-Cleveland is the obvious, like, that's going to be the conference final. I'm not sure Cleveland isn't just going to wipe the floor with Boston, but nah, I might be overreacting right now in the moment.
Well, they certainly, if the Miami Heat are any indication, Cleveland very good out there. We'll see what that means for the rest of the NBA playoffs there. Stanley Cup last night playoffs, Dallas taking a 3-2 lead in that series against Colorado with a 6-2 win. And, Joe, I think my call that Tampa was taking down Florida in the first round is about to be dead. They lose last night. They're down 3-1. And, frankly, they're just not beating that team three times in a row. So,
yeah, well, and the Avs, I mean, that series is wild. Talk about some serious swings in that one. Is that your you had Avs Lightning? Is that right?
Yeah, it's looking real good right now.
You might be out of there. Meanwhile, my championship Leafs are – you know, it's doing just fine.
Well, I hope they enjoy it because they may have the Florida Panthers coming up next. Hope they have a good time.
Boy, that could be great.
It really could.
That could be really good.
It really could. Ian, who'd you have winning the cup?
You know what? I didn't actually make a pick.
You can do it now.
So, I don't know. Florida's looking good, but for some reason, I'm not going to pick Florida, even though I kind of want to.
It's too easy.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe Vegas?
That's a good call. Although they're in a dogfight right now with John Hines.
Yeah.
I think they're going to end up winning.
John Hines has something to say about that.
I think they're going to end up winning it. But
yeah, it'll be close. I don't know. Edmonton, honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if they made it back to the final.
L.A. had a chance to almost close them out the other night and just could not do it. So we'll see what happens on that front. That series tied up at 2. It's been a great Stanley Cup playoff to this point. The NBA playoffs, other than a couple series of left things to be desired out there, but you know what? That typically is the case in the first round with the NBA playoffs. So we'll see how that goes as they get deeper into the playoffs there. We got a lot to get to on the program today. Steve Lehman from News Channel 5 will be with us at 8 o'clock. He was in Green Bay for the draft. He was at the press conference yesterday with Borgonzi and Brinker. So we'll get into all that with Steve Lehman a little bit later in the show. We will get into the Predators a little bit in the 7 o'clock hour. Still nothing on the Andrew Brunette, Barry Trotz front. So what do we think that means? And what's out there if the Predators decide to make a coaching change. We'll get into all that coming up at the 7 o'clock hour. But, y'all, I want to begin on Cam Ward. And as we sit here today with the draft in the rearview mirror, we went through yesterday some of the pieces around him on the offensive side of the ball and how the Titans have done of kind of setting him up for success in year one. Today, I just want to go over what are the expectations for Cam Ward. What's fair, what's not fair in year one for Cam Ward? I saw Kuharsky throw this out there yesterday, and this is coming from betonline.com. And it's Cam Ward, the over-under for passing yards is 3,200.5. The over-under for passing touchdowns, 19.5. And the over-under for total interceptions thrown is 12.5. So that was the kind of the line that was set for Cam Ward out there. And, you know, obviously when you start talking about rookie quarterbacks, and we've talked about this a lot, the two examples that you're going to come up with in recent memory are Jaden Daniels and C.J. Stroud. Daniels last year threw for 3,500 yards. He completed 69% of his passes, 25 touchdowns, 9 picks. He threw for 7-4 an attempt. C.J. Stroud in his rookie year threw for 4,100 yards, 23 touchdowns, only 5 interceptions, 63.9% completion percentage, and threw for 8.2 yards per attempt. So obviously those are two exceptional rookie seasons for a quarterback. So, Joe, as we sit here today, based on being the number one overall pick, the discussion we've had around Cam Ward, but also the situation he's walking into, what do you think is fair? What do you think is not fair in terms of what to expect from Cam Ward this year?
Well, I mean, statistically, if you're right around the over-unders on yards and touchdowns, I think that's pretty good. With this offense, again, it's hard to know exactly what's around him, but I think those numbers would be pretty good. You know, look, the Titans, I think, are going to lose more than they win this year, and there's probably going to be some fourth quarters where Cam Ward is, picking up some empty calories behind, throwing against soft zone coverage. So, you know, sometimes bad teams can have good quarterback numbers, even bad offenses can have decent passing numbers because the team's bad. But I think those numbers are good if you're under. And then how about, so slightly over on those numbers, right around under the on the picks. I mean, I think asking a rookie to throw single digit picks is asking a lot. I mean, if he's right around there, I think that's pretty good because, again, it's the same thing. If you're behind and you're one-dimensional and you're predictable, that also means, there's going to be safeties waiting to bait you and jump some routes, and, the pass rush is going to be coming. And, again, we don't know what his left tackle is going to be like. So I think statistically those things are fine. But, I mean, I think the fair expectation is, to have some really good performances and understand that there's going to be some bad ones, even like CJ Stroud in that rookie year in particular. I don't remember Jaden Daniels last year being much other than good all the time. I'm sure there are a couple off weeks. I still remember, but CJ Stroud definitely had some ups and downs, even though overall it was a tremendous success. I mean, like, he had a terrible game losing to Bryce Young, that rookie year. But I mean, with this team, I just don't see this team being anything like those two that we talk about in terms of a turnaround. So can you win a few games? Can you make some big plays in the fourth quarter? I wouldn't have been able to tell you Jaden Daniels' numbers last year, Robbie, but I could tell you the huge plays he made to beat Philly and obviously the Bears Hail Mary, but like he was clutch in the fourth quarter. Can Cam Ward show some of that and win some games, even if it only contributes to like a 5-12 season? I think that's what is most important to me.
Yeah, it's gonna be I think up and down from him in his rookie year. Look, I understand that Stroud and Daniels kind of reset the market for what people want from their rookie quarterbacks over the last couple of years. Can something like that be done with this Titans roster? I don't know. I kind of have my doubts about that. Like, I still think that the roster as a whole is a long way away from being in a place where you're a competitive football team. So I look at the, I look specifically on offense right now. Like, there's a lot, I said it yesterday, there's a lot that has to go right for them offensively. You know, the new offensive line additions that they've made, can they hold up? Can they be healthy? And frankly, if they are healthy, you brought it up at left tackle. Like, how good's Dan Moore? I don't know. Like, that's going to be a big part of the way this season goes. Can he and Ridley get on the same page early in the year? What does Tyler Lockett still have left on the table? And can you get anything out of these rookie receivers to start? Like, you know, I kind of have similar expectations for them in terms of, you know, I think it's going to take a while for the rookie receivers to come in and to be able to make a huge impact. Like, I know A.J. Brown walked in here and was basically impactful from day one, and maybe that does happen with a couple of these guys. But I just think you're talking about two fourth-round receivers. Like, what's that going to look like in terms of how quickly they're able to step in and be impactful players? I mean, they may have to, right? Like, based on where their receiving room is right now, they're going to have to play, and they're going to have to get some meaningful snaps out there. But how effective are they going to be in doing that? Like, my expectation for Cam Ward is, like, you need to be able throughout the course of the season to show flashes of why you were the number one overall pick. I don't expect him to go out there and win 10 games this year. I don't expect him to go out there and throw for 4,500 yards or anything like that. Like, you know, I think it's going to be a slow build with Cam Ward. So that's where I'm at. I think the most interesting thing for him is with the conditions around you right now, how good are you at protecting the football early? I mean, that's what absolutely killed the Titans last year, is they could not protect the football at that position. It's not going to be perfect for him. You know, we brought up the over-under in terms of the interception totals at 12.5 there. So that's a big number in terms of the over-under for interceptions. How good can you protect the football if you're Cam Ward in year one? That's what's going to be interesting for me to see.
Yeah, I mean, last year, Caleb Williams and Drake Maye, much higher regarded quarterbacks, rookie quarterbacks than Cam Ward is. Caleb Williams, everybody in Chicago feels good about Caleb Williams. They put a lot around him as a rookie. They didn't win much. Now, he had some very good games, and, you know, that's the thing. I mean, you saw enough from him to be like, okay, yeah, you can see it, right? I mean, they feel good about Drake Maye. What did he do? He didn't do much at all.
Right.
They didn't do much at all. They're feeling great in New England right now because they've done a lot to help him. You saw enough. So, I mean, you know, really it's like you don't want to be at the end of the next year and be like, what is going – is this guy a fraud? I mean, if you see enough of the talent out there, then, again, this is from a lesser prospect than those guys. And, you know, you should be able to feel good going into year two just like they do in Chicago and New England.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. We're off and running today here on the program. Throwing it out there to you. What's fair? What's not fair in terms of expectations for Cam Ward heading into year one? We'll take your thoughts on that. We'll get to some NFL news that could potentially affect Titans fans as well coming up next. Robbie and Rex Row, 1025-1063, the game. Tune in to 94.9 The Fan tonight as the Sounds take on Gwinnett. Pre-game beginning at 5:50, first pitch at 6:05. Coverage also available on the Game Nashville app and at thegamenashville.com. Sounds baseball on 94.9 The Fan, presented by Twin Peaks and Family Leisure. Robbie and Rex Road here on 1025-1063 The Game, taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Joe, some breaking news in the NFL. George Kittle, beloved Nashvillian here, has signed a four-year, $76.4 million contract extension that includes $40 million that is guaranteed. He told Bussin' with the Boys this. So Taylor Lewan and Will Compton breaking the news that George Kittle has signed a four-year extension with the San Francisco 49ers. And now, you know, the Schefters of the world are all over it as well. But Bussin' with the Boys breaking the news, Joe, that George Kittle staying in San Francisco and he signed an extension. So there goes the eventual – could he play for the Titans? Dream there if you're a Titans fan.
Yeah, they got Gunnar Helm.
It's true.
Big fat J journalism there by Bussin' with the Boys.
Good stuff.
Good job. Yeah. So, are they independent now? Is that what they get their
I
own?
I guess so, yeah.
Got away from Portnoy.
I guess. I don't know. I don't know exactly what they're doing, but I think so.
Well, yeah, it was a nice little thought while it lasted to have Kittle here playing for the Titans. It's interesting, you know, the Niners are – I mean, look, I don't blame him. I mean, although he has been hurt some, he's a great player, but, man, they've kind of come up on so many of these deals, and they're kind of in between now. And, how good are they going to be this year?
I don't know. Like, they're – there's still a lot of their key players are on the older side of things here, you know?
Yeah.
And now Deebo Samuel's gone. Hey, look, Deebo Samuel hasn't been great the last few years, and injuries have been a part of that. But they're certainly not the same. Like, you don't get terrified playing them the way you used to a couple years ago, where you just looked at their roster and you're like, there's no weakness. Like, you couldn't find a weakness with their team a few years ago.
Yeah, and they're so overwhelming, you know, up front on defense, you know. I mean, that's where, and obviously, you know, they've had some turnover at linebacker and things like that. But, look, man, great player, and I still think they're a factor. They're some kind of a factor in the NFC.
Yeah, we're going to find out a lot about Brock Purdy. Like, I'm assuming they're going to get this deal done at some point here with Brock Purdy. And I think we're going to start to find out exactly what he is, because I think he's a good player. I think he's a good quarterback. I also recognize that the situation around him has been incredibly, incredibly good for the majority of his career. And now we're going to see. Like, I think they're starting to roster-wise kind of fall the other way. So we'll see if he can elevate them and Kyle Shanahan and all that, what that looks like. But, you know, if you're a Titans fan out there and you were hoping that contract talks were falling apart between George Kittle and the Niners and that George Kittle would want to come home and play for the Titans, doesn't look like it's going
to
happen.
To say that sound you hear is the heartbreaking of Philip Forsberg.
Yeah, Forsberg is going to be very upset about all this. So
he'll still be pounding the glass, pounded beers, screaming for Phil.
He'll still find George Kittle around quite frequently. Chris on the text line, throwing this question out there, Joe. If Cam Ward fails next year, can we finally put blame on the head coach? This is from Chris on the text line. I'm telling you, if Cam Ward fails in year one, then the blame will definitely be put on the head coach, and he will probably not be here after that.
So, but you got to define fails. First of all, I mean, I don't think that Brian Callahan has skated through the last year completely unscathed, has he?
No.
I mean, I said
that they should fire him after last year, but that was just me.
I forgot about that.
Yeah,
you're quite a hater. Yeah, so there's plenty of blame going to Callahan on this program. But, what has failed, you know? I mean, again, Drake May, I feel good about him. I think he's going to be good. There isn't a lot from last year. I mean, there's some good play. You know, if you watched him play, you could see it, right? But, like, did he fail? I would say he did. Did Drake May fail last year? I think he did. Now, granted, they did fire the coach, but that was a weird, that whole thing with Mayo and Kraft. And I mean,
very strange.
Very weird. A lot of stuff that's weird that's kind of stemming from the New England Patriots organization and sprawling outward into the football world. But that's the hard thing. Like, what does that mean? Like, if you think like a losing record has failed, then I think you're going to be highly disappointed this year.
I got news
you know?
For you.
Yeah. You know, I mean, if he shows nothing, yeah, well, I mean, that's a problem. If he shows nothing, yeah, I mean, you can go to Callahan if you want. And also, let's talk about, hey, remember that offer from the Giants?
Yeah.
Like, but to me, it would have to be just a brutally bad season, you know, to feel like that. I'll be really surprised if there isn't something to build on here.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's got, you know, we've talked about this through the draft process with him. Like, is he the cleanest number one pick prospect of all time? Of course not. Like, there's a lot that you can look at with his game and poke holes in. I think pretty much everybody agreed that he is like a first round caliber quarterback, right? Like, he's a first round caliber quarterback, with the exception of apparently one general manager in the NFL who told Schefter that he didn't have a first round grade on any quarterback. So I think most people believe that that's what he is. So when you've got a general consensus of you having first round talent, Like, you should show some things throughout the course of a year. And, look, while the Titans roster is not in a good spot, I do think that there's enough on the offensive side right now, again, provided that health is there and that things go reasonably well from a development standpoint. Like, there's enough there where you shouldn't just be not be able to show anything. Like, the biggest thing is going to be the line, right? Like, how much have they improved their offensive line? If they've improved their offensive line significantly to the point where you're not just totally running for your life every time you drop back to pass like they have been for basically the last 3 years back there, then he's going to have some games where he plays well. He's going to have some games where you look at it and you say, all right, I can see what the Titans see from him there. And frankly, the bottom line is, as a rookie, he's probably going to have some horrible games this year. Like, there's going to be both. Can the good at the end of the year outweigh the bad in terms of, does he show you enough as the year goes on where you feel good about the direction that he's headed? Number one, I think that says a lot about the coach and what the future of that's going to look like. And number two, like, his development as a player, like, how much, you know, one of the things he talks about, and he talked about it the other day, you know, his ability to process things, his ability to see things. That's a large portion of what playing quarterback is seeing and processing information and being able to react in real time. Can he handle that at the NFL level? And how much better with that does he get from the start of the year to the end of the year? Physically, he's got the ability to do those things.
Right. Again, like, feeling good about someone. You know, he's gonna make some throws. There's no question that are just dazzling. He'll make dazzling throws. Yep. You know, he'll make some, and I'm sure he'll have some big games. But again, feeling good about a quarterback after 1 year. What was the feeling about Will Levis? On the strength of the one day of four touchdowns, and, you know, especially one of those throws was insane.
Yep.
Some other good, some bad, some good, but everybody felt pretty good, right? Now, I know it's a little different when you talk about pick one, round one, but it doesn't take a lot, you know, in my opinion, to have hope. Well, I mean, your guy, Marcus Mariota.
I mean, great player.
You know, yeah, but I mean, like, even after, especially after year two, if Cam Ward has those numbers and they have, basically to the point where they're at the end of the year playing for the division championship, right? In year two, at that point, everybody's going to be thrilled.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah. Well, and the bottom
line. And still won't know.
And the bottom line is also, like, if things don't go well this year with Cam Ward, then the blame is going to totally go on Brian Callahan. Like, that's just the natural order of things. He will get blamed for that first. And then the Titans fans are going to want him out. And then if they fire him, you're going to bring in a new head coach. And then you start to evaluate Cam Ward. But the bottom line is, like, if things don't go well this year, Callahan is absolutely going to be the one that gets the brunt of that blame.
Yeah, it's fair. Yeah. It's like a one, like, can you get enough out of him in this first year to show that you are, well, what you were supposed to be when you were hired?
Yeah. 615-737-1025, our phone number. More of your thoughts to get to on the Cam Ward front. Plus, what do we make of the job that Mike Borgonzi, Chad Brinker have done to this point and in their portion of this tenure? We'll get into that coming up next. Robbie and Rexrow, 1025, 1063, the game.
You guys have talked patience and discipline so much. Is there ever a moment through this thing with Amy where you're saying, hey, if Femi has played 10 games at this position, Winston's coming off an injury, a lot of these guys we have really good forecasts on, but it's not like we're dropping people into the roster who are going to transform this thing in 5 minutes.
Yeah, I've had a lot of conversations with Amy since January, and I'll just say this. Amy's fully on board with the plan, and she wants to become one of the elite franchises of the league. She believes in what we're doing. I really appreciate her and her support and how, she's really empowered us to do our jobs. I mean, I'm speaking on her behalf right now. You know, we hired Mike to lead that process, particularly building this football team. I think she really believes in what we're doing, and we want to make her proud, you know, so we're working hard to do that.
That's Chad Brinker yesterday with a press conference alongside Mike Borgonzi there with the Titans. Joe, Brinker making it sound like Amy Adams Strunk is on plan, is on board with a plan, and maybe patience is now the new virtue with the Tennessee Titans. I guess I'll again believe that when I see it at the end of the year if they go 5-12 and she doesn't fire someone. I guess we'll see what happens on that front. But what did you make of that answer from Chad Brinker?
Yeah, patience right now for sure being displayed because everyone wins the draft. And so now we're figuring out ways that the Titans have won the draft, and then they're going to win the schedule reveal.
Looking forward
to that. Actually, probably, May 14th, by the way. They'll probably have the most awesome. I mean, they got a streak here, although I don't know. I don't know if you can go to the well again on their idea for the schedule reveal, though 2 years ago that was amazing. And then it's easy to be patient during a mini camp and all the things and all the preseason stuff, and everybody's optimistic and excited. And then we'll find out actually about patience, right around December. But, interesting. It's a lot of interesting stuff, different stuff. I mean, when it comes down to it, what really matters here, like, did they pick good football players? You know, can they build a good football team? But boy, just a lot of interesting stuff. We talked a little bit yesterday. I guess some people were mad that they brought scouts out this weekend to talk.
Yeah,
I don't hate that. If that would have been the last word on the draft, then that's one thing. But they come out and they have this presser yesterday, which I've never seen before, a Monday after the whole thing. And of course, it's Brinker, really mostly Brinker talking in this thing. Which again, that's just the whole thing is. It's a setup like I've never seen before, but maybe it's just, again, all these cooks in the kitchen and who's doing what. Maybe they're just going to make a delicious souffle for everybody.
Well, we're going to find out. I mean, the question is, what do we think of what Borgonzi and Brinker have done so far? It's honestly tough to answer because we've not seen them step foot on the field yet. So that's ultimately going to be the most important thing. It is, you can see, kind of a shift in mentality of what they have been doing around here, which is, number one, for the most part, go look at their free agent signings and look at some of the moves they made. I mean, look, even bringing in Tyler Lockett last week, they have put a pretty heavy emphasis on bringing in players who have a track record of staying healthy, right? Like that has been a point of emphasis for them this offseason, which is part of what made like the Winston pick in the third round so interesting, is because that is not the case with him. Now, look, I've said this before. You're never going to universally stay away from players in the world of NFL football that have injury history. I mean, if you're doing that, you're probably not going to put together a very good team because there are a lot of guys around the league who have had injuries before that have come back and have played well. But that's clearly been something that has been important to them in terms of the way they're trying to structure their team. And look, like from the moment they put this setup together with Chad Brinker leading the charge, and this was even before they hired Borgonzi, which eventually, of course, they did, he's been basically preaching patience. And we talked about that with PK several times throughout the offseason here. Like, they're taking the patient approach. And frankly, that may end up being the best thing for them, like trying to slow build this thing. Until I see the owner actually go along with this until I see her sit through a season that's not good and go along with this and allow time to build, I'm going to remain skeptical that she's going to stick with this plan, Joe, because frankly, she's just been all over the place the last 3 years. And one of the things we talked about the day they fired Rand Carthon, and again, to be clear, I was totally for that move. I thought Rand Carthon was in over his head, and they needed to make a move. But the day they fired him, I was like, well, okay, so are we just going to do this again next year? They're going to fire Brian Callahan after next year? Like, I still, it's one thing to preach patience here in April, but when you sit through it and when you go through another season that right now, based on what they've got on paper, probably isn't going to be all that good. I'm looking at their over-under win total right now, Joe, from FanDuel Sportsbook. It's 5.5. Like, you're talking about a not very good team heading into this year. Can they sit through it, and is this process allowed to be played out the way that Brinker seems to think it will be?
Yeah. Look, and it's obviously it's a product, This is about the product. If we're going you know, if you talk about impressions, obviously we've had some early impressions. I mean, it's not early anymore, but, you know, it's the first few months still of Borgonzi. And my impressions of him in terms of as he talks through picks and things like that are positive. And I think he does a good job of explaining things. He seems to, you know, to have a good feel. Obviously, he comes from successful organization, but plenty of people come from successful organizations that fail. Rand Carthon just did. Now, if we're going on impressions of, you know, publicly of how things are being explained, which is really what we have to go on, other than just we'll see how these things all work out, these decisions. I mean, look, Brian Callahan continues to be, you know, like the night Cam Ward was drafted, it was like, thank goodness Brian Callahan was there, because he really gave an insightful bunch of answers about why they liked him. I mean, Brian Callahan continues to be a great press conference coach, but, you know, it's on the product on the field this year is critical for him. Some stuff from Brinker. Yeah, like let me read it. You know, and I know some of this is just cliche football guy stuff, but it's like, you know, someone Glennon asks about broad characteristics. And he says, you know, I think over time as this unfolds, you might be able to draft them for us ahead of time, because you're gonna see, oh, that looks like a Titan. There's definitely a D8A we're looking for in our players, and I think everybody wants that. Like, what does that mean? Okay, because they're good at football? Like, they're super tough? Are they like cyborgs? I mean, I just, like, you know, some of the whole character thing, like, every single team talks about that stuff. Every single team talks about the same stuff.
Yep.
Right? Now like, can you win? Can you figure out a way to win or lose your job? Another thing interesting, Brinker's talking about during the draft process yesterday how he's like keeps getting pulled away from stuff, yeah, like during the draft. Yeah. Like, what do we? Hey, Chad. You know, we're not sure about our lighting in the in the coach's meeting room. Do you want like soft lights or like what do we do? You know, it's a security. We got a security meeting here, Chad. I know it's the draft. It's the most important time of the year where everybody's future is being decided right now, and you like whether you're going to be employed, I'm going to be employed, all of us will be employed, the football players you pick, but we got to really have a meeting here about, you know, like the lunch menu during camp. Like, what are we talking about here,
Chad? We got to go to Lowe's. There's some new paint that we're trying to get, and we don't really know exactly what color, so can you come with us? We're going to the paint aisle over there.
Like, it's so, the whole thing is so weird, and again, I understand, you know, he's technically in charge of all the other departments, right? But, like, what would pull you away from the draft?
I don't know. It's a good question.
I'd love to know. It's the whole thing is weird, and it's just hard not to be skeptical, you know, because, again, all these missteps that they've had just recently he was a part of, you know. And then, so to me, that is the biggest reason for skepticism. I mean, Borgonzi comes in and again seems like a sharp guy, and we're going to see about his eye for players. I mean, I'm assuming that's what we're seeing here. That's another thing, right? Is like, I mean, Chad makes it, he again made it clear, you know, this is Mike was in charge, all this stuff. But then you have this presser, like, where he dominates the presser yesterday, and it's like, I don't know, like, have the Titans in the past ever had, did Steve ever do that for the Titans, you know? Like, Floyd, have a seat. I'm going to sit here and bloviate for, again, it's just press conference stuff, but it makes it so confusing at times.
It is. 615-737-1025, our phone number. Your thoughts on Chad Brinker, Mike Borgonzi, and the job that you think they've done to this point. Where do you think this thing is headed with their leadership? We'll get into that. Robbie and Rex Rowe, 102.5, 106.3, the game.
Chad, how did you help Mike through that process?
Yeah, you know, obviously, you know, Mike led this entire process, and, you know, that's why we hired Mike, to lead the draft, free agency, building the roster, and I have complete trust in him. And, you know, how I helped, you know, there's a lot of other people in this building that I got to, you know, care for and be there, and other departments that got to run. So one of the nice things about this setup was that while they were in the draft room, there were times where I had to get pulled away for various meetings for an hour or two. And I'd come back and Mike would say, hey, you know, we looked at these five players, but you really need to focus on these three. So it really helped my, you know, workload to be able to know what to focus on and have the full trust in Mike that I believe in him. And he knows what he's a really good evaluator. And the humility that he has is just tremendous. And it really it helped me still be involved in the process. But ultimately, you know, my trust is in Mike. I mean, I think he's outstanding, and I'm glad we have him.
That was the Titans yesterday. Chad Brinker, Mike Borgonzi at his post-draft press conference there, which, again, Joe, I think you're right. I don't know that I've really seen that, like the Monday after a draft. It was interesting.
Yeah, I like it. Said, yeah, no, I think that's good. Now, someone did on the text line, and I'm on the text line, which I'm very excited about.
That's good.
Got the text line working for me. Maybe that's not good for the show. Someone will trigger me, but we'll soldier on. But someone was like, well, at least they're talking, you know, to us, unlike before with Rand. But, I mean, the draft last year, folks, Rand Carthon talked. I mean, everybody has to talk in the NFL around the draft. So now I will agree that at other times Rand needed to be available and wasn't. So we'll see how that goes. We haven't really tested that out with, like, Borgonzi, I guess, or Brinker. But I guess I'd prefer Borgonzi.
I would agree.
I got to know what these meetings are. I got, like, you know, oh, man, we're talking about these players. Hold on, guys. Guys, I got to go. We got a really important meeting here. You know, we got a new vendor.
Is it about the stadium? Like, is he doing stuff with that?
I mean, that would be dumb, too.
I agree.
Bert Nyhill is trying to figure something out here.
I don't know
where he's going. Is he like, okay, guys, let me I got to go get my bucket and see and fill it up and see if Kaharski can carry this thing, okay? I mean, I don't know.
Good call.
Yeah, thank you. I hope you're listening, PK. Might be too early for PK to hear that. But it's just, I mean, like, what? Like, seriously. I don't want to, like, overreact to something that – ultimately probably doesn't mean a lot, but it's just, it really is, if you think about it, kind of weird, right?
I guess when you got 1,000 people in your front office, though, I mean, you can leave for a little while. I mean, they've got enough people in there to pick up the slack, I guess.
Yeah, but it's also like, we're looking at these three guys. Okay, so are you just, so is it like, okay, we're down to these three, so who, Chad? Or is it just like, by the way, this is what we're doing? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
What's his role there? Once he gets back from the meeting about how they're changing vending machines from Coke to Pepsi, you know, like what is he like then? What's his role when they tell him about the three guys?
Because that's the other thing. Like, you know, he's talked about how, you know, in the immediate aftermath of the firing of Carthon, you know, Chad Brinker was in charge, right? Like, Chad Brinker was moving ahead as, and we called it basically the football czar of the Titans. And basically ever since then, Joe, ever since he's hired Borgonzi, he has, like, gone out of his way to talk about how, like, Borgonzi is running personnel decisions over there. So it's like, all right, well, what is it? Like, what exactly are you guys doing with the way that you've got this thing set up over there? You know, I'll say this again, right now, everything's easy to point to and be positive about in April, right? Like, they've a lot of people like their draft. You know, I saw, I think it was Mike Renner gave them like an A+ on their draft yesterday, which, again, that gets into an entire conversation about how in the world are you guys grading drafts when they've not played a single down of football yet in the NFL. But that's a conversation for a different day. So, you know, it's easy to be positive right now. What's it gonna look like this year? That's what it boils down to. Like, and how the fan base with the new quarterback coming in, I think you buy yourself some time, because everybody's going to be focused on the number one overall pick at quarterback and how does he play, how does he develop. So the wins and losses, fans probably don't care as much about that this year because you know where the team is and you know where they're coming from. But I still go back to ownership. Like, we have seen this with her. She was all in on Vrabel until she wasn't. She was all in on Rand Carthon and Will Levis and all that until she wasn't. And it did not take very long for her to switch on those ideas. So right now, according to Brinker, she's all in on being patient and trying to be one of the elite franchises in the league and, you know, having the patience to go through maybe some pain to get there. You know, when does the point arrive, Joe, where she's not anymore? Because that's been the trend lately.
Yeah. And look, if she gets out on somebody, there's – I mean, there are plenty of possibilities.
Yeah.
Like we just saw Carthon out, Brinker elevated. So Brinker's asked about Dave Ziegler and Reggie McKenzie. Interesting comment he had yesterday.
Yeah, you can never have enough good people. And if you know, this structure works when you have the right people. And, you know, Reggie and I work together. Up in Green Bay, I think you all met Reggie. I mean, how can you not like Reggie? Reggie's—he's the best. Tremendous evaluator, and all he cares about the team. He cares about winning. Just really good as a mentor for young scouts too. And then Dave, I've known for a long time in this league, and I know Mike and Dave have been good friends for a long time. And Dave has done a lot of good things in this league over the years, and he's another guy. He's from Ohio, grew up in Cleveland. I'm from Ohio. We had a lot of, you know, familiar connections, and it just kind of it just clicks. I don't really know how to explain it. It's just working, and I think it's because it's, you know, I talk about it a lot, you know, high impact, low ego. That's what we want. We want people with low ego, but we expect, you know, you got to perform when you're in this business. And we know how hard it can be. So, you know, that's, I thought it worked really well. Go ahead, Mike.
And then Mike said something for a minute. Yeah. I mean, like I'm brought back to like Rand Carthon is the greatest human being in the history of the earth.
You know, like, I was telling Ian before the show started, like I would probably advise them to have Brinker talk less would probably be the way I would go about it. Like, I just feel he kind of feels like a snake oil salesman to me. Like he's just blowing smoke constantly. And it's hard for me to take a lot of that seriously. I mean, I thought exactly what you said. I think back to comments Joey made last year about Carthon and how he was so smart and how he was the greatest thing ever. And now all of a sudden, a year later, we're talking about all this stuff again. Like if I'm a Titans fan, like I'm like, okay, man, just it's exhausting.
Right, and it just again, it's like you're sort of left with this sort of so who and I know like lots of franchises are not out there and say, hey guys, this is final say, this is how we do it, here's how. But you talk through all this stuff, and it really is like, man, how does this work? I mean, if they all love each other and they're all amazing people, that's great, you know. But like, Brinker pulled away from a meeting, and then he comes back, and then and this guy and that guy, you know, it's again, what matters? Let's see the product next year.
Yeah.
And if it looks good, then we're gonna go back and say, hey, look at this structure here, NFL. If you can figure out this structure somehow with like a big map, you know, with a chart, then you should copy it. But it's just, it seems a little convoluted.
It does. Brandon on YouTube says, the Titans are insecure and are constantly posturing, always trying to explain how great the new wheel they invented is. It's from Brandon on YouTube. I think that sums it up pretty nicely. 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. We'll take more of your thoughts on the Titans. We will get back into this conversation coming up later in the 7 o'clock hour. Coming up next, we'll get into the Predators. We've not heard anything to this point on the future of Andrew Brunette. We have not heard from Predators general manager Barry Trotz after the end of the season. What does it all mean? We'll get into that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Rowe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.